Welcome to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. My name's Mel, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Jono, as we kick off our Season 9 Team Review Series. Jono, welcome back to Free Kick and straight into it with some clubs.
Hey, Mel. Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here. I can't wait to get stuck into the Bulldogs. I think it's going to be a fun team just to sort of throw myself straight back into the mix.
Straight into it, yep. So for the third season, we are doing our club team reviews in the preseason, and this year we're mixing it up and we're starting with, or we're going in reverse ladder order for season 8. So that means first up we've got the Bulldogs. So as always, let's have a little introduction to how the Bulldogs went in season 8 and coming into season 9. Jono, would you like to run us through the club?
I very much can. So look, the Bulldogs had a very forgettable season in 2023. They had the unfortunate honour of taking out the Wooden Spoon last on the ladder with one win and 9 losses from their 10 games. They lost 8 in a row to start the season. They lost to expansion club Sydney, who ended up making finals, but it was nearly a 10-goal loss, so quite a smashing there. They had their coach Nathan Burke be sacked, and then the big kicker was at the end of the season. There was a mass exodus of a number of players, including one of their heart and soul of the club, Kirsty Lamb, who was one of their inaugural players. So tough pill to swallow, but, you know, there's always hope. There's a new season. A mass exodus of players has also meant that there is a whole new list coming in. Mm-hmm. About a third of the club seems new this year with 10 players, plus Eleanor Brown returning from being inactive last season. So a lot of young talent and exciting players coming in.
Yeah, wow, 10 ins. I think that might be the most. Would you like to run us through who some of those are?
On the trade table, they've picked up Analia McKee from the Brisbane Lions, who I think is a very handy forward key position player, kind of stuck behind Dakota Davidson there and some of the quality players they have at the Lions, but I think she'll be pretty handy. Zimu Farquharson from the Lions as well, very, very good small forward. Down back, they're going to have a couple of players, Famua Laluifi from Carlton, and Lauren Arends from the Gold Coast. So that really, I think, is going to straighten up their back line there, particularly with someone like Katie Lynch departing the club. So that's really important pickups there. And then Jasmine Smith and Ellie Gavalis are also very, very handy trade pickups. Ellie Gavalis is someone we're going to talk about a fair bit later. And then in the draft, geez, who haven't they got?
Wow.
I mean, they had four picks in the first 11. You've got Christy Lee, Weston Turner as the number one pick, Brooke Barwick at number 4, Elaine Grigg at number 6, Chloe Buttefont at number 11. And I suppose for people with a good memory, Georgia Borg was picked up as sort of a ruck backup at number 48. Used to play for Port Adelaide from memory.
The Bombers?
The Bombers. That was right, the Bombers.
Yeah, yes. It was an expansion club.
Yeah, but I think our first season running the pod, we were very much looking at her as a bench option. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting to see if she gets a game.
Yeah. So lots of ins, lots of really important ins, but they're filling quite a few big holes. Tell us about some of the big outs.
Yeah. So Kirsty Lamb, that's someone that's just sort of been in the middle week in, week out for, 6 seasons. She's going to be very, very tough to replace. Some of their big key forwards and big key backs, you've got Celine Moody heading off to Carlton to play with her sister, Gabby Newton heading off to Fremantle, all the way across the coast, and then Katie Lynch heading to the Gold Coast. So that's a lot of the spine there taking off. We've unfortunately seen the retirement of Rochelle Cranston and Kirsty McLeod, who had a lot of games with the club. And then there are also a few delisted players, Bailey Hunt, Daisy Bateman, Gemma Lagoya, and Millie Brown. And look, I think what's most interesting about the entire offseason is that whilst this was happening, at the time, they didn't have a coach. Tamara High hadn't been appointed yet, and they didn't have a list manager. So it's going to be...
Yeah.
I honestly, I'm very confused about how these decisions were made. I can't wait to see how it turns out because I really like the players they've got coming in, but it's a tough call to replace the others.
Given they didn't have a list manager, they've done a pretty good job at recruiting, like to fill some of these holes, kind of cross all of the lines, still got some big names, so... It's quite a hopeful season for the Bulldogs, and finishing 18th last season, they can only go up from here. So it's it's quite exciting. And speaking of exciting, we managed to get an awesome interview. Liam interviewed Elizabeth Georgiostathis earlier, and we're going to jump over to that now.
Rightio, thank you for that lovely introduction, team. And that is right. We have our first interview of our team preview season from the Western Bulldogs. We have Elizabeth Georgiostathis. Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on the show. So how has your off-season been?
That's right. Thanks for having me. My off-season has been pretty good. Obviously, got stuck into footy training and the pre-season pretty early. Obviously, we start a bit later on in the season and on the year. But it's been really good. Got a little holiday away over to Europe, which was nice just before the season, just to refresh and get a little bit of a holiday over there. But no, it's been really good so far.
And was that holiday as a celebration after getting your 3-year extension, which I saw that you signed in the off season, or was that in advance of or during? Was that your way to celebrate?
It was probably during a little bit. It was sort of like a pre-planned holiday. We'd planned it 4 years ago during COVID, but COVID happened. So yeah, it's sort of, I sort of found out that information just before I left. So it was sort of a nice little getaway.
That sounds terrible. Oh, I've got a job extension and a bit of a raise before going on my holiday. Yeah. Oh, must be awful. So wanted to talk about 2023 for you. When prepping for this interview, I was like, Elizabeth Georgiostathis, the defender. And then I'm like, maybe do I call her a defender and a defender or forward? Or do I call her midfielder, defender or forward? In your own words, what position did you play last year, if you have to try and describe it?
Probably a mix of all, but probably mainly a defender, sort of changed into that role.
Is that your preferred position? Because I know that doing some research, you played that as a junior.
Yeah, so I played it my last year, I think, at the Western Jets. I suppose when I got drafted to the Bulldogs, I was in the midfield for quite a few years. I think it was 2022 in the second season, I sort of moved over to the back line and spent, last year in the back line. But no, I really love it in the back line, I'm really happy there.
Yeah, well, you're, moving in positions. I noticed there was a couple of games where you had some high centre bounce attendances as well. Would you say that 2023 was probably the most tumultuous of your 5 AFLW seasons to date?
Yeah, for sure. I think obviously it came with its ups and downs and stuff, but it also came with a lot of learnings. It was like, I look back at it now and I'm still proud of how we went as a team and stuff. So, yeah.
That's completely understandable. And you talk about there's probably a lot of learnings. You're probably also going to have a whole lot of new learning at the moment. You've got a new coach. What are your initial thoughts on Tam Hyatt? And are there any new points of emphasis or some things that are really hitting home that are a bit different from the previous coaching regime?
For sure. I think bringing on Tam, I think it's just sort of given us a new star, a fresh start, along with other new coaches, new players as well. But she's really driven the connection. Since the day she's got here, she's made the effort to get to know everyone and just push the training standards really high and expectations to follow at those elite levels. So, she's been really good. I'm just excited to see what we can do for the season.
Yeah, and it's definitely going to be an exciting season. Definitely going to be a lot of change, particularly in, as you've said, backline. You've lost 2 key cogs from previous seasons and at least last season. Gammy Newton's gone across to Fremantle. Katie Lynch has gone up to the Gold Coast. Obviously, those in experience, and that's a pretty big loss for the team. I would say, though, you've gained a substantial amount of experience with Lauren Ahrens and Mool Alawifi. What's it been like gaining those more experienced AFLW players back there? And how is the backline group gelling at the moment?
They've been really good. Both Lauren and Mua, they've been playing footy for a while. They obviously have that experience, and just to hear them and their feedback, and every training session they always got something new to say and some new feedback or whatever it may be. It's just great to hear their thoughts and their insights as to, how we should be playing and how we can connect better as a backline. So, and I think, we have a bit of a younger backline. So I think, yeah, bringing them two on has been really good, just to help with learnings and stuff and get more out of it.
Yeah, definitely. And are they going to be playing kind of the roles they played at previous clubs? So Mua's typically been a lockdown defender. Lauren has played a bit of lockdown and also as an interceptor. Are they both going to be filling similar roles in that back line this year?
Maybe, I presume so. I'm not 100% sure yet of their roles. But, yeah, I think it's just a bit nice this year to have taller players. I suppose last year we got caught out a bit with the smaller players being on tools. But, no, it'll be nice to, I suppose, make the height level a bit more similar.
Yes, I definitely noticed watching a few games with yourself and Naomi Ferris playing on some fairly taller players, and definitely it's never easy watching something like that happen. I've played sport myself, and playing as a defender when you know you just can't win because of size is always disappointing.
Yeah.
Another player that I wanted to talk about, and she may not be playing in defence for you guys this year, but Cleo Butterfant, who's come across as a draftee. She was playing as a key position player in her juniors. How's she slotted into the team so far?
Oh, she's slotted in seamlessly. She's actually amazing. You wouldn't believe that she's only 18 years old. Like, I look at her, I'm like, whoa, like, how are you 18 and stuff? I know she hasn't played many games, but it doesn't look like that at all. Like, off the field in the gym and stuff, she's lifting heavier than some of the top girls in our club. So, it's really great to see her, and it's exciting to see what she's going to be able to do this year. I'm really excited.
Yeah, as are we as AFLW fans. Now, we can't talk about rookies and excitement without talking about Christy Lee Weston-Turner, double hyphen. Two questions. One, how's she gone fitting into the club? And two, has she got a nickname yet? Because it is a mouthful as content creators trying to fit that in. Everyone, we want to talk about the Bulldogs.
First of all, yes, she's fitted in seamlessly. She's a bundle of energy. She's probably one of those annoying teammates where they don't shut up and stuff. But nah, she's good fun and stuff. She brings good energy, good vibes to the training track. And yeah, she's another exciting player, and I'm excited to see what she brings out into the field this year. And yeah, probably her nickname, I think we've just gone to Westo. Nothing too exciting yet, but I know something might develop over the next few weeks or in the season.
Happy to run with Westo, and very keen to see how she'll play this year. Where is she going to be playing, given that she played as a midfielder and as a forward as a junior?
I reckon she's just probably looking at those between those two lines still, just trying to figure out where she fits in, where she likes better and stuff. So yeah, probably between one of those two lines.
Okay, well, that you've been very cagey there. You're not giving too much away, but we'll be watching on in earnest in the preseason matches to see where she ends up lining up. The other, if we're going to talk about, midfielders in the rookie class as well. You've got Brooke Barwick, who I presume is going to be a midfielder. Feel free to correct me. She's another high draft pick, went at pick 4. What's your impression of her so far?
Yeah, it's different. All the draftees, new draftees, are so different in their own way. Brooke, she's come across like she's quiet, a bit shy and stuff, but she's slowly coming out of her shell, which I love to see and stuff. But obviously coming off her ACL and stuff, she's, I think, now back into full training with us and doing, full trainings, like drills and stuff. So it's been really exciting to see what she's been able to do and produce. Her skills are amazing. When I remember, I just had a kick to kick with her, I was like, oh my god, you did not miss the target. But that's just a credit to her and how hard she's worked, obviously through her rehab time. But yeah, she's another exciting one that I'm really excited to see her play.
Yeah, and again, this is a bumper rookie class for the Bulldogs. It's going to be an exciting team to watch this year because there are all these fresh and very talented but unknown players. I want to just quickly touch on the midfield, if only as a way to connect to someone that I think is going to be joining you in defence this year. It sounds like Jess Fitzgerald is going to be joining the defensive group. I can't imagine that you're complaining getting another skilled player back there. The big question, though, is she's been a midfielder for the Bulldogs in previous seasons. Who are the key replacements that you think are going to come into the midfield group? And then also feel free to comment on what it's like having her in defensive group now as well.
Yeah, I'll say having her in the backline group, it's great. Like I said, I think everyone loves the backline down here, but No, it's really good. I think just, you know, get another runner off halfback and stuff, and to see what she can do and stuff, I suppose. Just it's nice to have like that fresh change, and if that's like if that's what will make our team better, then that's what we need. But yeah, I think that there's a few numbers to roll through the midfield still too. And like I know for myself, if I needed to go in the midfield, that like I'd be happy to anyway. But yeah, I think again with those new draftees coming in, I think it's just we have a wide variety of differences in the midfield that can actually play and play to their strengths and stuff. So I think yeah, it's exciting and stuff. And I think we are still just learning like how to play as a team. Obviously we've got a big new list change and stuff. So I think it's just we're learning how to play as a team and finding out how we fit in these different positions.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, any new coach comes in with a new philosophy on top of a lot of list change. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people trolling through the midfield. I just wanted to quiz you on one final new player. She's come across from North, and that's Ellie Gavalis. How has she gone fitting into the club, and has she fitted into a specific position group of training so far?
Again, another amazing person. I actually played with Ellie in the VFLW, so it was in my draft year and her draft year, so she got drafted in from the same year, but really brought out, again, that professionalism, those elite standards. She's really driven them high. So, yeah, she's another great inclusion, and I think maybe midfield forward for Ellie for this season.
Awesome. Now, one question that we like to ask everyone that we interview, if you were, you know, an impartial observer watching the preseason training, who would you say is the most likely to have the biggest improvement this year? Someone who's really stood out as taking the next step?
I was going to say Cleo, but I know she hasn't played at AFLW level, but I just think she's going to be one to watch. I think she's going to surprise a lot of people. But I would say her.
Cleo Butterfant, you've already sung her praises massively. I think that's more than okay to say that a rookie is going to come in and shock us all. One final question. I'm disappointed you didn't say yourself you finished second in the best and fairest last year. Is this the year that you're going to finish first and tip Ellie to the park?
I don't know. It's very hard to beat Ellie Blackburn. she's a gun, but I just, obviously I want to get the best out of myself, but yeah, I want the best out of the team.
A beautifully humble answer. And again, we agree, Ellie Blackburn is a superstar of this competition for a long time. And we hope we see more improvement for you as well. Ellie, that was it for the question for today. Thanks to you so much for jumping on. You're a wealth of information. And like I said, we are absolutely keen as mustard to see how the Western Bulldogs go this year. It's going to be a massive year of change, but with change comes some exciting opportunities to see some new players.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's very exciting.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so much for your time. Talk soon.
That's right. Thank you for having me.
Great interview there with Elizabeth and Liam. And that actually ties us in quite nicely to running through the top five most fantasy relevant players at the Bulldogs. Jono, who have you got in first place?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've just heard from her. Elizabeth Georgiostathis, I have to say, looks like a terrific potential option for us. So for those who don't know, last season she had a massive breakout. She improved her season average by nearly 30 points on the prior season and averaged about 68.4. But the key thing is that she seemed to get better and better as the season progressed. So in the back half of the season, if we just look at her last five games, she averaged 79.6, which, I mean, wow. That would immediately put her as...
For a defender.
Yeah, the best fantasy defender we've got as an option there. Mm-hmm. So really, really impressive. The other thing is we've seen a lot of departures in the back line. Bailey Hunt, Katie Lynch, Gabby Newton. And between Georgiostathis and those three, those are the only players who had more than five kick-ins last season. So Georgiostathis could just take the lion's share here and become a massive fantasy option for us. The only asterisk that I really have on this is we're going to see a lot of new faces in that back line and everything's going to be thrown out. So what do you think, Mel?
There is always the potential that change is great for fantasy, but too much change, maybe a bit of chaos and a lot of change in players, but consistency in coach could be okay, but everything is new. So while that makes a lot of sense, yeah, I don't know. It does sound like a pretty good lock, though.
I think she finished second in the Bulldogs' best and fairest, which is, I think, a really good sign that, you know, those who are around really value her in the club. I still feel like if she can put up anything similar, she's a very good chance to be in the top five defenders come the end of the season.
Yeah, it does feel massive, though, to have such a huge point improvement 2 years in a row.
I mean, she's still quite young. It's even if she just backed up and averaged the exact same, I think she'd be likely to be in the top five. You know, she was already up there. I think the only thing that we didn't see from her last year was she was mid only, and this is her first year as defender. So,
yeah, that listing really helps, especially if she does run through the midfield as well.
I think a lot of people would have been surprised to see her back there at the top and gone, you know, where was she last season? I don't remember this person at all. But now that she's got that status, it becomes a very tempting option. And to be honest, I think she's very likely to start for me as D1.
D1. Nice. I like it. I can see her in my starting side, but I can't say I've put as much thought into that as you and Liam have. Okay, so number two.
Number two is Ellie Gavalis, who it's such an interesting pick because she's got forward status, and forward is a line that we are really struggling to pick players on. Very much was stuck behind a lot of talented North Melbourne midfielders and didn't get the midfield time that I think she wanted. I'm pretty sure that's why she's changed clubs. And as we just heard from Elizabeth, she is definitely training a little bit in the midfield, a little bit forward as well. Role seems to be unsettled, but if we can see a little bit more of Gavalis in the midfield, she definitely has the talent to be a breakout contender in our forward line.
Yeah, and only priced at 40.
Oh, it's so cheap, isn't it?
So, so cheap.
You can very much see her jumping to 60 to 65, which I think would almost immediately have her as one of the best forwards we have because the options seem very limited.
So far in the Bulldogs, on our first club review of season 9, we've got a top five, if not best, defender and then in Elizabeth Georgiou-Southis. And then we've got the highest scoring forward in Georgie Gavalis. You know, we're calling big shots already for season 9, but Bulldogs is a very exciting club.
Yeah.
Let's round out. Let's go to another line. Who have you got for us in the ruck?
Yeah. Well, this is where I just go, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid because I also think we've got the number one ruck potential here. So Alice Edmonds, we're talking about the season 7 highest averaging ruck. And she came back in season 8 with an even better average of 80.6, which I think Morfitt and Bree Moody overtook her, but absolutely a huge, huge average for her. Looking at this, though, we're talking about back-to-back career best seasons. I'm hopeful that there is scope to go even further. And the main thing is the departure of Celine Moody, because it's not like there was a lot of ruck share, but there definitely was whenever the ball went forward. So at the moment, outside of Georgia Borg, there's no one else on the list that has any ruck experience, really. And I think she should be sole ruck for most of the season. And if we look last season, once Celine Moody had that injury and went out of the team, Edmonds was sole ruck, with the exception of one injury-affected game in round 7. She averaged about 99% time on ground and averaged 88.25 from that point on, which would have had a barely behind Ali Morfitt through that period. So, I mean, huge opportunity. I think with Bree Moody now having her sister next to her plus Jess Good, we have no idea what's going on at Carlton. I can't wait for that episode. I think there's a lot of scope for Alice Evans to jump up and potentially be the number one ruck as well.
I like that. She's coming in at number 3, and she's only, what, 7 or 8 points behind Ali Morfitt, who might not stay there.
It's a very small gap.
It is a small gap. It also means limited upside. Like, she can get, what, another 8, 9, 10 points?
Yeah.
As opposed to a rookie who could potentially do that pretty easily. I mean, I say that hypothetically for a hypothetical rookie, but
no, you're right. We have been blessed by a lot of very, very cheap rucks. And so we're looking. There's a few options this year. Someone like Lily Pierce could be really interesting. But unless someone really jumps out, you know, if you want to just go with the set and forget strategy, I think this is the one that you could really, you know, bank on. The only question mark, and it again's come back to what were they doing without a list manager? The Bulldogs very heavily chased Ali Morfitt in the off-season. What does that mean? You know, they're looking for another ruck. I think they've already got one of the best in the competition. So I was very surprised that they did that. But also, who did that? I don't understand.
That is a very good question. I think Alice Edmonds is undervalued just as a player, as a person, not necessarily fantasy-wise. So I really want her to be someone that we talk about all the time because I think she's great. So I like this call.
Yeah.
Number four, bit of an interesting one. So back to the back line. What are we thinking?
Yeah, so two of the players coming in the back line, we've got Lauren Arends and Moolah Luifi. And I think they are both very, very good options if we want a cheap defender. Starting with Leluifi, we've got someone priced at 380K, which is exceptionally cheap, somewhere priced around the 30 average. But she has a career best average of 45.7, so very much some upside there. I think the more interesting one, though, is if we pay up just slightly more for Lauren Arends, because she's coming in very cheap at an average of about 39, which... She has career best seasons of 55 and 67, and that was way back when Gold Coast were first introduced to the competition. And, I mean, let's be real, they were probably in a similar position to where the Bulldogs are now, where we're expecting them to sort of be developing this new group together, and the ball was spending a lot of time in the back line. So here, I think, as an intercept marker, she could really, really do very well as a fantasy player. She could potentially jump into that kick-out routine that she didn't really have as much of at the Gold Coast. This is also back when the games were much shorter than they are now. You know, they only extended the quarters last year. So if she goes back to that sort of a score, we could see something in that 65 range, I think, is fairly realistic. And that's, what, 26 points of upside. So someone that I'm very strongly considering.
Yeah, I like this option. There were definitely moments last season where Will and I were chatting about which players from the Gold Coast backline would be good options and kind of like mid-price madness. There was a few and none of them really had enough airtime on their own to be a viable option. Lauren Arends definitely had some good games in there. I think a few decent scores in the 50s or so. So I like this idea of with the change of club comes more opportunity. Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think it's always tough picking someone when they've come off nearly a career low, but I think that's sort of the reality of being a lockdown defender sometimes, is you can just kind of get stuck into a role. And the Gold Coast were very good last year. The ball didn't spend as much time down back as it usually does, so could be it's an option that I'm really tempted by.
I like it. And number five,
we are still in the back line because that's where there is so much change happening, and this
that's where the ball will be too.
exactly. I think it's going to be really interesting here, but we've heard in the off-season that Jessica Fitzgerald is making a bit of a positional change this off-season, and she's heading to the back line. So she is a mid only, and she's priced around 64. So it's a little challenging for someone to pick this as a fantasy player, but we're gonna try and make the argument because there is potential here. The ball is going to spend a lot more time down back, and it sounds like they want her there as a little bit of a distributor, which means there's a good chance she's getting... also going to get involved in the kick-ins. And if the ball is down there, you know, she could be getting a lot of tackles. She could be, you know, clearing packs and sort of that first kick out of defense. So I think really interesting to see how she goes down there.
Yeah, I like it. And, you know, we've just spoken about the best defender, midfielder and ruck. So it's nice to throw in someone that's a bit of a spicy pick in your top five.
Yeah, if she had defender status, I think I would be a lot more keen on it. The mid only is really the only drawback here, because I think very likely to go a 65 to 70 average again in my mind.
I like your classification of mid only as if we had DPP.
Well, yeah, I'm hopeful. It's coming soon, I believe.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So for the Mel special, I got to start by... You know, I'm not a rule follower, so I'm going to start the Mel special with the absence of a player before I get in the actual special. And that's the absence of Ellie Blackburn from this list. She was on there. She's been taken off, mostly because there's just so many other relevant players that we wanted to talk about. I mean, Ellie Blackburn, she's been around for a long time. She's a pretty known quantity because of her presence in the media. So even new fantasy players are going to know of her. But probably not one of the top five most interesting players at the Bulldogs, just because... She's going to be pretty busy leading this new club with a lot of change, new coach, new everything else going on. So probably not going to be the most fantasy relevant option. Although she was someone that a lot of people had last season for a couple of rounds or so, and she could be like a fixture option. So we still think that she's a great midfielder fantasy-wise, but they're and she could be like a nice known entity pickup mid-season, but probably not the most exciting.
Yeah, I think she's traditionally someone that seems to start the season quite well. So I think as a left field pickup, you could sort of start there and hope she goes 100 or a little higher in round one. But yeah, absolutely not as relevant as these other names.
Yep. But someone that is quite relevant is the competition's number one draft pick, the double barrel, Christy Lee Weston Turner, who's come over to the Bulldogs as forward. She's an interesting one because she's going to be listed as a forward in the game. Although from what we can read about her, she plays both mid and forward. She's known for her aerial abilities, which to me says marks, good points. She's also known for her speed, so she can be rotating through that midfield, which we love to see for someone that's listed as a forward. She also, with her height, I think she, 178 centimetres or something quite tall, she's going to be good to fill that gap that was left by the forward departures. And I know you mentioned earlier the gap left by the departed defenders, but I feel like there's just everyone has departed from the Bulldogs. We saw Celine Moody, Gabby Newton, Rochelle Cranston, Kirsten McLeod all depart. That's a lot of that forward talent there. So there's definitely a role for her to be starting straight away.
No, absolutely. I think she's so talented and the Bulldogs are going to do everything in their power to make sure that wherever she's playing, she's around the ball as much as possible because the limited highlights that we've seen are just incredible.
Yeah, she's just, it's just all on her. Like, yeah. She looks like a one woman show. And as you mentioned at the start, I mean, the Bulldogs have had a great pickup of rookies.
Yeah, I think the amount of rookies that they've got, really, really talented players coming in. You've got Brooke Barwick and Elaine Grigg, who are sort of that mid-forward mix, slightly different players. I think Brooke Barwick is much more of the tackler and Elaine Grigg is much more speedy and very, very talented. But it was interesting hearing from Elizabeth Georgiou-Stathis just in that interview that Chloe Buddafont is her pick, I suppose, to be a very, very exciting new player. Sort of a key defender in her youth. So could also be another one to throw into that defensive mix. But
yeah,
you can sort of see that a lot of the defenders from last year, the ones that didn't leave the club, they sort of were in and out of the team, even through injuries that were occurring. So we could see an entirely new backline and an entirely new forward line coming into this season. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be one to pay attention to team listings for earlier rounds, just to see which, like, there's got so much talent now to choose from. It's just about who they put where and who they include in the squad. So yeah, this is going to be, we're going to be talking about the Bulldogs a lot this season.
Yeah, we're going to need as many eyes on that practice game as possible because there's going to be so many things to try and pick up on. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The other thing which we're not even sure about yet is if Fitzgerald and Lamb are no longer part of that midfield. There's a lot of midfield time to be picked up. Who's going to do that? And there's so many different players that could. I suppose we're not comfortable putting a name on who it's going to be just yet. But that there could also be a midfield breakout candidate for us if we're lucky.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, so lots going on at the Bulldogs. We'll be putting out our best 21 on socials shortly, which you can find us on Twitter and Instagram as FreeKickWPod. Thanks for joining me on today's Bulldogs episode, Jono. Up next, we've got the West Coast Eagles review.
No, thank you. It's been great being back.
Awesome. Chat to you later.
See ya.
Bye.